Welcome to Heathen in the Hedge. This is a podcast about marriage, magic, and beyond. My name is Merlin.
And I'm Shay.
And today we are going to be talking about the different types of witches and witchcrafts.
Yeah.
So this will be a fun one.
It's going to be jam-packed with a bunch of information.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to share this with you all, because I know a lot of people, when they first get into witchcraft, it's a little overwhelming. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of different paths you could take and different ways that you could practice. And I know a lot of people can sometimes feel a little overwhelmed. So we're hoping that this episode kind of helps to just, you know, give you some breakdowns of information about the different types of practices and just kind of helping you out with your journey.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just start out with the first question. What kinds of witches and forms of witchcraft are there? And I guess the first of the list would be like coven-based witchcraft,
mm-hmm.
which is basically exactly what it sounds like. It's a collection of witches that work together to basically combine their energies and amplify their spells
mm-hmm.
within a group network.
Right.
And
which I do a little bit of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I've only taken in part in like one group ceremony in mm-hmm. my entire life. So I don't have a whole lot of that experience. Then you've got solitary witches. And that's pretty self-explanatory, too. It's a witch that works alone. They typically follow either, like, a particular path or, like, a combination of different paths. It's mm-hmm. There's not really any set guidelines to being a solitary witch. It's just,
right,
you're just
right.
working alone.
Yeah. Which is, I think, what we kind of...
Yeah,
a lot of that quality.
The first two were really not even, like, types of witches. That's just, like, types of, like, I guess, practice.
Well,
like,
right. Most of these are really just the types of practices that you can do.
And then you've got, like, crystal witches, which, you know, work with the energies of rocks, crystals, and other types of minerals, and they use them to manifest and amplify and attract different mm-hmm. types of energies.
Right, just crystal magic.
Cosmic witches use astrology, astronomy, and lunar energies, typically. A green witch, they're mostly into like nature, healing, and nurturing, typically gaining their tools and powers and rituals from the earth. They use like herbal magic and potions and stuff mm-hmm. like that, which I would almost rope you into that one.
Right, but I have
a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of have my fingers in many different categories.
A hedge witch is similar to a green witch, but they typically usually work alone. Like, let's see, what else was there that was different? They don't really follow any sort of strict dogma. They're kind of eclectic in that sense, and they usually fall into the category of like healers, shamans, and spirit workers, because they do a lot of like hedge magic, which mm-hmm. is like crossing the veil and, you know, working in the spirit realm.
Right.
But they also are nature witches and like to, you know, work with plants and
mm-hmm.
concoct potions and that right. kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got gray witches, which ride the line between white and dark magic. And I've always called, or thought of gray witches as like the social justice witches, because they are all about using like hexes and curses typically for like the use of good.
Right.
More often than not, you see a lot of like gray witches, you know, hexing world leaders and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
that they don't agree with. And
it's the best use of magic.
Yeah. And then you've got eclectic witches, which they just a lot of people, even though it's kind of a bad term, I came across the term cherry picker
mm-hmm.
a lot in my research. But yeah, they just basically take the things that speak to them and incorporate it into their practice, which I think we all do a little bit of that. I know
right.
I do. So what kind of practice would you consider your magical works to fall into the realm of?
Or you know, what's funny?
Multiples, honestly.
Yeah, what's funny is I really feel like I kind of like touch in almost all of those genres.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Me too.
I feel like I do a little bit of coven-based magic. That's something that I just started within the last year, working more with others, and that has been like something like very new, but it has been really fun just trying to find people that I have similar magical connections with and practice styles with and being able to do that. Like I have at this current time, I have one strong friend that like anytime that there is like a moon, because we would both consider, I think we both would consider ourselves pretty strongly like cosmic.
Mm-hmm.
We do really go by like the lunar and astrology readings a lot.
Yeah.
So, whenever it's like a good moon, she's always like, "You ready to do a ritual?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Like it's always like, we're just like, we're always waiting for it to be the right time so we can do it together. So that's been kind of new, like just finding like a great partner to do like magical things with, which is really nice. And then, but also I feel, you know, for a long time that I considered myself more of like a solitary hedge, because I felt like I was doing a lot of very, like very deep searching, like alone, and just wanting to like only work on my own magic. And like I said, that's why I call these, I don't even really call these like types of witches. I call them the types of witchcraft.
Yeah, I think it's, different types of...
Because there's different types that you mm-hmm. can practice, and they're going to, you know, they're going to fluctuate. Sometimes you might be a solitary witch because you want to be alone. Sometimes you might want to be a coven-based witch because you need support. Maybe you want to be... more directed with crystals because you're feeling like you're not
for sure.
connected with the earth as much
or
whatever. But I use a lot of crystals. I use a lot of like green witchery and kitchen witchery, and I also use a lot of cosmic witchery. Like, I mean, I use all of the so I guess technically I'm an eclectic. I'm just gonna put myself in that category.
I would probably also put myself in the eclectic category, but if I was to pick like three of them, like to give myself a title, I would probably use, let's see, I'm a solitary gray hedge.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but honestly, like I do, the only one I don't really dabble in too much at all, and it's only because I don't know a lot about it, is like cosmic witchcraft. I don't know a whole lot about like the lunar phases or astrology.
Could.
I mean, I do a little bit, but
I mean,
it's
could.
The out of all of them that I know that the least.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely not a coven based witch. I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say in the future I couldn't be. I mean, I could definitely see the perks of working with other witches.
Yeah.
But I've found in personal experience that my magic is plenty powerful enough on my own.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's not
really about like if you, you know.
No, it's just what calls to you personally.
Right. It's not really about if you need to share. You don't have to share. You know, you don't have to really do this in a group or anything.
No.
It's just all about, you know, what works for
it's
you.
Whatever you're comfortable with, honestly. Mm-hmm. If you're not a social person, you're probably not going to want to work a whole lot with groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, it's whatever makes you, whatever you're comfortable with. How did you discover what type of witch you are?
You can start that one.
Okay. Research, like just honestly, it started with meditation. It was always meditation. So I fell into the hedge category of like the like spirit work and stuff pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's probably where I dipped my toes in the water first, was with like divination. And then honestly, to get into the next question, like, I'm going to combine the two questions because they kind of fall in the same, like as far as resources, like there's a lot of good like books and YouTube channels on witchcraft, and just, I mean, I couldn't even pick a single one because there's so many good ones. Like, just go through, find one of them that speaks to you, and
I know for a while there you were watching, like, The Witch of Wanderlust for a little bit. And
yeah, she's got a lot of really good beginner witch
tips. Older videos, you all. Yes. Her older videos, if you go all the way back to her beginning of her channel, she has really, really good informative videos. Mm-hmm. That we also, I think, for a while there, we were watching, like, the White Witch Parlor. We also watched a little bit of, like, what was that Norwegian witch we would watch for a while?
Freya.
No, not that one. There was another one that we watched, and she had red hair, and she was younger.
Oh, shit.
Don't remember her, but she was cool. Just can't remember her name right now. We also had, there was, we also like to watch Mint.
Mint, that's the one I was trying to think of.
Mint Fairy.
Yeah, she's very cool.
She's really great. Like, she tells you a lot of information. Like, if you all are, and this is not even in this episode, we're going to have a whole another episode on this, but she does a lot of, like, fae information, which is really cool. I love that she's such a knowledgeable person on the internet that you can watch. She has, like, such good information. So we have we'll tag some of these channels down in the description of this episode if you all want to check out some of those. For me, I kind of feel like how I really figured out what kind of witch I was I really just dabbled. I tried pretty much everything and just kind of figured out what stuck the best with me. I noticed that, you know, I'm not really a person who likes to do dark magic. I feel like it's very conflictive to my to, like, my being. It's hard for me to do it. And, like, there was even a time that, like, I went through such emotional turmoil. Like, I was having such an emotional time, like, going through something very stressful to the point that I wanted to direct my magic at someone else, like, in a negative way. And I went on, like, a 2-month hiatus. Like, I couldn't even do any magic because I was just so pissed that I knew that anything I tried to do,
Was going
to
be dark.
Yeah, no matter what I tried to do, even if it was going to be like, oh, let's just try to, like, heal ourselves. No, underneath, my intention would be, fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah.
And I had to stop myself. I was like, okay, we're not doing any magic until we feel completely cleared in the consciousness.
Yeah. Now, see, I'm the complete opposite that way, because I like to work with dark magic. Like, not necessarily for dark reasons, but I find that I do my...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I find that I do my best magic when I'm a little bit angry.
Well, I knew it was going to be... I knew it was going to be dark, like, dangerous. Like, somebody could die. Like, I didn't want to get to that level. You know what I mean? Because all energy, no matter what kind, has its own vibration. And whether I wanted it to be sweet or not, it was going to be whatever it was going to be. And it was going to be what I really, truly felt. So, I just decided not to do that. But it just was... Yeah, just the trial and error. Like, I went and
you
started
have to
looking
play
into. Yeah, I just went and looked into crystals and kind of figured out, okay, do I even like crystals? Do I have a connection with crystals? And I do. I collected all of the ones that I like, and I continue to, you know, do that here and there. But do I work with them on a daily basis? No, not necessarily. I will pretty much pull out, like, my favorite crystal for when I'm going to do, like, a ritual. But I say I'm eclectic because I literally will use almost all of those components in just one spell.
For sure.
Like, I could, you know, pull out a crystal and also have, like, you know, a herb mix that I'm going to burn. And I also could have, like, a cosmic connection to, like, the lunar calendar at that time, because I'm trying to do something, like, with the moon, which is always usually most of my power is coming from the moon. Like, I'm very much a lunar witch, I would say that. I use, like, all of my magic is surrounded by the lunar phases. I try to go off of when the best night for the best moon phase is going to be.
Yeah.
And I always go off of, like, what energy and what is it, like, what is it entailing? Because you have to be, you know, you just have to pay attention to those things. Like, some people will try to, like, and even I tried to do this, but some people have tried to, like, manifest on a full moon, and it's not really for that. Like, manifesting isn't really what you're supposed to do on a full
moon.
You're supposed to just rest. You're supposed to just reflect and kind of...
It's like the Sunday.
So it's a recharge time for yourself. Whereas the new moon is going to be when you have that, you know, that new, that feeling of manifestation and starting something new, new beginnings, that kind of thing.
There's a lot of creative potential there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will have another episode.
I was going to say, you could do a whole episode
on just lunar phases. We will have a whole episode on that, I promise. But today, for the most part, I just want to say that, yeah, like, being able to incorporate all of those things in your practice is kind of, you know, what makes you unique. You don't really have to necessarily choose a particular type of craft to practice.
See, that was... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're fine. I was just going to say that for the most part, the most important thing is that you're just doing whatever makes you feel the most powerful.
See, that was something in the beginning of my practice, was trying to figure out where I fit in. And that was like, that's something you need to realize, is you really don't have to fit in anywhere. Just follow what you're comfortable with, what speaks to you.
Well, yeah.
Because
well,
I was worried about being a specific kind of witch, because you've got so many like lists of different types of magics and witches and all that stuff on the internet, and even in books, like, almost every book on like beginner's witchcraft goes through like, you, which type of witch are you? And like, that's not a good way to look at it. Like, you could be all of those types of witches. And
well, the book that, like, one of the books I really love and I always recommend is like that, it's like that Scott Cunningham guide to, I believe it's like solitary.
I think that sounds correct.
I will get that title, but it's a really good one. I read that one, and I still haven't finished the entire thing, because I'm the kind of person who'll start something, but I also have like 40 other like tabs open, so it's going to take me some time to get to it. But I started it, and it was really good. Like, a lot of the first chapters were just talking about the fact that like every type of practice and every type of witchcraft is really different, and it just depends on the kind of practice that you want to do. There is really no right or wrong way to do it. The only thing that you need to remember is basically like whatever it is that is, you know, your value.
Yeah, for sure.
In that whole practice. I think some people don't really have many rules for themselves other than to just like do no harm to others, and that's pretty much their only baseline. Other than that, they'll just do anything else.
Yeah.
And some people have, you know, very strict ways of practicing for themselves, and you know, do it in that way because it may seem real ritualistic to them.
Something that I think is cool is, in like researching and just trying things, is you'll discover things that aren't even on the lists. Like, I connect strongly to the weather. Like, I do a lot of like weather and like earth magic, and that's typically not on
many lists.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I do a lot of weather magic. I don't even know what you would call that, but I'm just calling it weather magic. But yeah, just like discovering like different things about yourself. Like, you have your individual magics.
Well, you are an earth sign.
For sure, yeah.
I think it just has to do with you connecting to the earth.
Yeah.
Because that's just the kind of person that you are.
It's, yeah.
You're meant to be grounded, connected into the roots kind of thing. So I
feel
like that's probably a part of your practice. Like, that's kind of what you were saying pretty much, that certain parts of like your true powers will come out just based off of like you doing what feels right to you.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Even if it's just, you know, going outside and meditating, like, I never really used to think of myself as a person who felt like I had to be grounded. But I found out a lot over the summer that I do really enjoy like green witchcraft, because it does help me feel grounded.
Yeah.
It also helps me have more of an appreciation for life. Like, I started to become a lot more connected with nature instead of being afraid of it. And that really helped me become a lot more like just harmonious and like rhythmic with my, with like just doing my job. Like, I would have never thought that like 10 years ago I would be doing like part-time gardening, or like just going outside to like forage and, you know, look up plants and that kind of thing.
Man.
It wasn't really like my thing then.
Yeah.
And that never would have thought that it would have been now, but witchcraft opened a lot of doors for me, including
totally.
That one.
Yeah. Would you say there's any practices that you don't connect with?
Like I said, I kind of feel like when it comes to like gray witchcraft or like dark witchcraft, I don't do much of it just because, like I said, I personally know myself and I just think that anything that I would try to do, even if I was a little pissed, would just get it would just spin out of control. Like I just know myself and I know that like in the moment when I'm mad, I could blow the roof off the place in my brain. So I don't even want to go that far. But I just think that I try to stay on the lighter side of magic because that's just easier for me.
Well,
It's a
you're also very good at it, so
well, yeah. I mean, like it's a positive.
yeah,
Like
for sure.
it's a positive
It's something that flows
way.
naturally with you.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's something that I try to focus on because it is easy to feel fixated on negativity, which is, just a lot of what life is surrounded around is like literally the struggles of life. So you can't outrun them. But when you, I feel like, when you put in this intention to be very positive and focus on just, doing things for the good, it really puts something in you. The light, I guess. Like you are putting the light within.
For sure.
But not to say that there's anything wrong with doing gray magic or dark magic. There's nothing wrong with that. What I'm saying is when you start doing your magic, just be able to know your gauge.
For
Just
sure.
how like, as you know that you're able to do dark magic without it being, out of
Well,
control.
it's not,
Like,
I typically don't do it from a negative standpoint. Like the key to, like my key in dark magic is if you're going to do a dark spell, do it from a place of love. Like I will typically do it in like for like protecting other people. I will like I will if somebody's going through something or somebody's bothering somebody.
Well, I mean, we both did that at one point.
Yes.
Yeah, we both
But
did
see
like a joint spell.
that's using dark magic from a place of love, which it's a little more balanced when you do it that way. You're not
I will say when you
doing
say it
it
like
from a
that
place of
makes it a
hatred.
little because that makes sense. Like when it comes to like a protection spell or like a banishing spell of some sort, I usually can those are like the
'Cause that
only
is dark
Yeah,
magic
that's
for
the
sure,
only
yeah.
dark magic that I do. I only do that kind of dark magic just for the sake of because I feel like those are just necessary. Like you have to protect yourself and you really have to keep like those negative energies away because a lot of times there are people that just will continue to attack you
For
no matter
sure.
how much protection you put up. So you just kind of have to keep that in mind. But either way,
You've got to, it's got to be a good balance. You don't
I
just
don't
want to
hate
go
any
in.
of the types of magic.
No.
I've tried a lot of them, and I'm sure there's other ones I still haven't tried yet. But so far,
Well, that.
I feel like, yeah, I'm definitely eclectic. I kind of just pick up whatever feels right to me. And for the most part, I don't really dislike most like of any of them. I just don't do as much great witchcraft, I don't think.
Well, that leads into the next question. Like, which are there any types of magic you would like to try more or you haven't tried that you would like to try?
Well, I feel like I would like to get a little bit I would like to get a little bit more into the hedge witchcraft. Like I feel like I went with it a little bit, but I would like to learn a little bit more. I had this book at one point, and actually what's funny is it was a book I rented out from a library and then you bought it. So now I'll be able to read that book anytime. But yeah, that's a book that I was wanting to get more into.
I've got a book,
That's the one. It's called
Hedge
the book.
Druidry.
Yeah, that's the exact book. It's called The Book of Hedge Druidry, A Complete Guide for the Solitary Seeker.
I
And
carry.
we'll put that information in the description as well. But yeah, this was the book I read initially and I really liked it. I didn't read
I carry this book with me everywhere because
the
there is a
entire
ton
thing.
of information, like really good information in it.
Yeah, I didn't read a ton of information out of this book because when I first got this book was when I was first like burst into witchcraft and I kind of felt a little overwhelmed. So I don't think that I got as far in as I wanted to, but I am glad that you bought it because it's a book that I wanted to read again.
It's a really good book.
But the Hedge druidry, it's, or witchcraft. So the hedge witchcraft itself is something that I really want to get to do a little bit more of, because of the simple fact that I feel like I want to connect a lot more, like, deeper with, like, that stronger, like, ancestral
mm-hmm.
type of magic.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, through the veil, because I do have a lot of, like, I do feel like I have a lot of, like, just ancestral, like, spirit magic.
Yeah.
That I do, like, have some connection with that's just natural.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like if I connect a lot more with my, like, with my hedge magic, it will kind of help me to dive a little bit deeper into that.
Yeah, absolutely. I have recently just started, we talked about it last Wishy Wednesday, but I've recently just started working with ancestral magic and, like, ancestral, like, spirit work.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a lot of, like, I mean, that's a huge part of hedge witchery, is working with spirits and crossing the veil, and
yeah,
there's a ton of meditation and, like, spirit work and hedge witchery, which is,
yeah,
I think is why I fell into it so easily.
Yeah, I want to do a little bit more of that, because I think it'll help.
Yeah.
Kind of help with the connection.
Have you ever, I guess, worked with a cat? Yeah, you have worked. You've already
what
said
you
that.
You
worked.
More of? Did you even answer that question?
Oh, shit, yeah.
What do you want to do more of?
Yeah, definitely, like, astrology, like, cosmic witchcraft. Because
yeah.
I do.
I don't even know why you don't, because I literally know a lot of things, and you could ask me.
Yeah, I know. Well, that actually goes into one of our next questions, but I'm going to wait a second. But yeah, like, I would definitely like to learn more about
mm-hmm.
astrology and astronomy and, like, moon magic, because I don't really know a whole lot about those, which, yeah, I should learn. I should ask questions.
I mean, hey, you know, take your time. There's a lot of information.
We've already talked about working in covens, so I won't answer that question, but, like, do you have any pros and cons of both working in covens and working solitary, like?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I would say the con to working in a group is that, well, first of all, is that you really don't know, like, that everyone is in the same place energetically.
Yes.
It's really hard to know whether or not everyone is actually really focusing on the exact thing at the exact time,
mm-hmm.
like, to help that energy really flow.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you end up kind of, like, with these blockages or, like, disruptions that just don't really help, like, the magic. There's also just, you know, different practicing styles. Like, when you're in a coven, it's extremely difficult if, you know, you're bringing in multiple people, and especially newer members or newer people that you're practicing with. Not everyone may feel comfortable with the way that you practice, and this can be
for sure
kind of a, you know, a hang up in just, like, smooth.
Yeah, because, like, a Christian witch might not feel comfortable working with a satanic witch.
Right, right. So you have to be kind of compatible with, like, everyone that you're practicing
mm-hmm.
with. You know, checking to see, like, if they follow any of the same paths that you do or do any of the same kind of practicing that you do, will help out tremendously, because it's kind of, yeah, it doesn't help if you show up and you're kind of, like, feeling a little uncomfortable and out of your element.
Mm-hmm.
Not able to really, like, put yourself in that space, in the right space for the right outcomes. Another con for the groups can be just, like, spiritual suckers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who show up to just kind of steal the energy from others.
Yeah.
Like, I've gone to events and just kind of left them, like, drained. Like, I didn't get anything from them. I just got, like, the life sucked out of me.
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to be aware of those.
I've experienced that in just normal social situations.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
somebody walks into a room and you just immediately are completely drained of any positive magic that you had
yeah.
within you.
Yeah, so you kind of have to be aware of that. But, I mean, the positives are is that you get, like, this really great connection with other practitioners that are, you know, trying to be in the same spiritual space as you. So that's really nice. You also, you know, get a sense of ideas, like, you're learning from other witches, and they
yeah.
all have different ways of practicing, so it's nice to be able to to literally get firsthand information from others.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at when I was saying, when I was talking about like wanting to learn more about astrology, mm-hmm. is like, I think part of the reason that I haven't is because I know a few people that are deeply into astrology. So I'll just typically ask them questions about it. Like,
yeah.
So it's like, which could be like, one of the pros of a coven is you've got all of that mm-hmm. different types of knowledge within that group. So right. like you've always got different people to go to about different things.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's nice to be able to have like a community of
yeah.
people that you can share similar interests with and ask questions to. That's really nice.
Yeah, for sure.
Another pro
yeah.
would be just getting like a getting like an open forum to like really understand yourself and kind of push yourself beyond your limits. Like the fact that like I believe that the witchcraft door really opened for me because that first step was taken by going to a coven meeting and having like a very open and public ritual.
Yes.
Really kind of opened that door for me because I really had to do I don't even know what I would call it. Something transformational. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like from moving into one major religion into another, there has to be like this line that you sever from like your old path to your new path.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was the line for me.
Me too.
Yeah.
Even though I had been dabbling like a little bit longer whenever we both kind of decided to like come out and say, hey, we're fucking witches, like mm-hmm. that sort of thing. But that ritual, we went to a Samhain ritual, like
in broad daylight in the middle of a park.
Yeah, middle of a park. It was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
And
like,
not
it was
a very great location, might I add. Like, we could have been freaking shot or something. Like,
yeah.
If anybody was driving by and was not a friend, we could have been vandalized.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is a very Christian town.
Luckily, though, no one had the decency to be stupid like that.
But that was a very like crossroads type
that was a really big moment. That was a really big moment because it was something super big that we had never really experienced, and the actual act of doing such a ritual, like that's one great thing that you can get from a coven is the fact that it really allows you to open up that self-discovery door. Mm-hmm. You're going to be too afraid to do a lot of things by yourself, but if you do them in a group first, you're going to be able to go home and say, okay, that wasn't as scary as I thought.
Now, see, I do love public rituals. I don't know how down I could get with, like, coven work, but as far as, like, a public ritual,
mm-hmm.
I love that energy.
Yeah, it's sure. really cool.
It's always, like, super open and welcoming, and, mm-hmm. yeah, I would definitely enjoy doing more public rituals.
Yeah, me too. I haven't seen a ton happening like around that I know of, but I know that there are people that put them together. So
yeah,
it's just about, you know, finding your comfort zone, finding your people, and kind of doing like, you know, what feels right to you.
Absolutely.
There's really, like we said, no right or wrong. It's all about just literally finding whatever ways that you connect to your power.
For sure. And I guess to round the episode off, do you have any tips for new witches?
Yeah. Like, you know, do your research, ask your questions, practice.
Yeah.
But definitely don't do anything that you're not prepared for.
Yes.
Like, listen to your gut. Like, if you're sitting there thinking that maybe you should try a banishment after like your third day of reading a book, maybe you should think again.
Yeah.
Maybe just take some time and like make sure that like you are in the right place spiritually and that you are feeling educated mm-hmm. and very confident in what you're doing. Like that's how I gauge any magic that I do, is whether or not I feel confident in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because if I have any, that's the thing with magic, is if you have any shred of doubt, it's not going to work.
No, it'll derail you.
You're just going to
so fucking fast.
You're just gonna basically put like I call it like a blank.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're just shooting a blank spell out. Like the spell has a shell, but there's nothing in it because you were doubting the entire thing. So there's not much you're gonna get from that. You have to fill that thing with the gas of confidence. Mm-hmm. And it's going to shoot right into the sky and boom.
I think spells that don't work are just as important as spells that do work, because that gives you an opportunity to like look at the spell and kind of like reverse analyze it and find out why it didn't work. So then the next time you do a spell, you can kind of get your head in the right place. But yeah, confidence is everything. And my advice would be just to play where you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And experiment respectfully.
And also another big tip I would give is just like boundaries. And that's physical and spiritual and energetically. Like, yeah. Make sure that you have your boundaries up in all areas. Like, if you're going to go to a large coven gathering, make sure that you express, you know, the things that you are not comfortable with.
For sure.
If you are doing some kind of magic, you know, make sure you be honest with yourself what you are not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. If you happen to be, you know, trying any type of new witchcraft practice, just, you know, make sure that you are putting in place those protection boundaries and all of that to be certain that you're protected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're going to a ritual, like, there's nothing wrong at all with, like, finding out who the ritual leader is and maybe asking them how it's going to go down, because you might find some things in there that you're not comfortable with. Something that I didn't realize was insensitivity within ritual witchcraft until hearing about it on another podcast that I listened to, is like gender normatives, mm-hmm. within rituals, mm-hmm. like that might not work with your gender identity. Like if you're like a non-binary or like a transgender individual, mm-hmm. you might feel uncomfortable the way that they place you in the ritual. So it's a good idea to talk to the ritual leader and see how they do the rituals and
how they place you.
Yeah. See how they place you where you would feel comfortable. Cause I've heard of a lot of people not feeling comfortable being placed in certain roles and certain rituals.
Oh, I see.
Based off of gender. Mm-hmm. And sometimes,
well, also
it's just automatic whenever people are, yeah.
Yeah. Also, also something that kind of brought up in my memory was also that some people don't feel comfortable practicing with the opposite sex.
Yes. That's
or people that, that identify as the opposite sex, I should say.
Yeah.
So it's important to also remember that as well. If you're that kind of person, you know, and you're going to a coven or ritual that has multiple types of people and mm-hmm. you're not comfortable with that, you know, I mean, because I've been in that situation too. I showed up to a ritual. I wasn't really comfortable at all. And I could tell the entire time that no magic was being spewed.
Yeah.
But we were doing it anyways, just going through the motions. Because sometimes that's just kind of what happens when you're trying these things out. You're just getting the feel of like how you're going to work energetically.
Yeah.
And you just have to know that. I know now that I am definitely a person who I work best with people that I know.
Yeah.
Like if I feel comfortable with you and I know you, that makes it easier for me to do magic with you versus like a complete stranger.
That makes sense.
That I don't have a lot of like connection with. It makes it hard for me to kind of like really open up spiritually or like energetically to those types of situations. But
that
do you
makes
have
sense.
Any other tips you want to add?
No, I'm just be honest with yourself and do what's comfortable. Don't go outside of your comfort zone immediately. There's nothing wrong with experimenting later on when you're a little more comfortable with where you're at in your craft, but
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just have fun with it though.
For sure. We want to hear from you all. If there are any questions that you all have or any other topics you all would like to hear, you know where to find us. Leave your information. We would love to hear it. We are on Facebook and Instagram at Heathen and the Hedge Podcast. And just, you know, connect with us. We would love to hear from you.
And check out our Linktree and our Patreon and all of that jazz. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this has been another Witchy Wednesday. We hope to hear from you all again very soon.
Yeah.
This has been Heathen and the Hedge Podcast. I'm Shay.
And my name is Merlin.
And we will catch you all on the next one. Blessed be y'all.
Love you.
Peace.